Today in our first reading, we hear that story from 2 Maccabees. If you read the book of Maccabees, both of them, there's this persecution, and it's pretty brutal. In the Catholic Church, we've suffered persecution over the years, over the centuries. There was the great persecutions before Christianity was legalized. There was the persecutions that came after the Roman Empire kind of collapsed, and there was barbarians and tribesmen kind of ruling in those places. There was persecutions that happened during the time of the Muslim insurgents around the world, particularly in the Mediterranean area. There are persecutions that took place in England and even on the continent during the time of the Reformation. So these persecutions are just part of our history. We've gone through that. But how about us? How would we face those things, I wonder? Are we ready to face that kind of suffering for our faith? Will we remain faithful to Christ if it costs us something dear? In some ways, Christianity has been under, I would say, a soft persecution for a while in the Western world. A soft persecution kind of is about ideas and laws and prohibitions against religious expression. A radical secularization that refuses any sort of public witness or voice to religion. A slow but steady stream of court cases and legal battles and lobbying has been pushing against this Christian foundation that our country was founded upon. Gone are the days when Judeo-Christian values and principles are almost universally accepted and held. And I would say that this soft persecution has been also directed specifically at the Catholic Church in a more pronounced way ever since the Paul VI wrote Humani Vitae back in 1968. This very brief document obviously courageously upheld the traditional teaching on the use of contraception. That contraception is not compatible with a lived Catholic faith. And this soft persecution has continued. It's got ramped up over the years. As one moral issue after another are kind of faced and challenged and legalized or become normalized in our society. So things like abortion, homosexual marriage, euthanasia, stem cell research, gender ideology, religious freedom issues, conscience clauses for Catholic businessmen and medical professionals. We have seen political figures now making proposals that the churches that support traditional marriage should lose their tax-exempt status. At this rate, you know, might not be long before we're charged a fine or some other kind of penalty for believing these things that we've always believed. So where does this come from? It's not that the church has changed her teaching. It's that the world has shifted. So are we ready to stand our ground? Are we ready to suffer the inconveniences that might come our way, to be penalized, to maybe be passed over for some advancement or promotion? Are we ready to face prison time, possibly? Are we ready to be censored or silenced for talking in publicly or holding publicly our views, our religious convictions? It can happen here. It is happening here to some degree. Are we ready to suffer for the faith? Maybe we think we are. Maybe we think we're ready. I think it's a little bit naive, though, to say that I'm ready to do this, and yet I won't sacrifice or I won't hold firm on other areas of the faith. Maybe I'm ready to die for these things, but I don't really go to Mass regularly, or I don't really confess my sins. These sorts of things, the simple things that we're called to do, if I can't do those, am I going to be able to stand firm when harder things come? We hear a lot of stories in our faith and many witnesses to our faith who were martyrs, people who died for the faith, those who suffered greatly in order not to compromise their faith, their principles. These are inspiring stories, stories that we maybe hold dear to us, and they should give us courage. But in every sustained persecution that the church has sustained over the years, there's also been those who have left the church, who have apostatized. They've gone away from the faith because it was difficult, it was challenging, and they didn't want to suffer personal loss. I don't know if you've read the book or watched the movie called Silence. Came out a few years ago. I would say it's a pretty violent movie in some ways because it portrays this hard persecution in Japan. They have a good image there of what hard persecution looks like. And I think also the challenge that we would go through, the psychological difficulties a person goes through when they're trying to hold things together, my faith, and yet these people's lives are at stake, and how do I balance these things? It's not easy. It's not easy to live our lives as firm Catholics and hold on all these things. We're challenged. And I think the Lord gives us opportunities to grow and maybe wrestle with the question in our own heart if we're disagreeing with the church on something. It's not easy. How do we do that? Do we imagine that it would be easy for us to hold fast to Christ with the larger things if we're not willing to hold to Him in the smaller matters? By giving in to these issues previously mentioned, we allow this erosion of our faith. It may seem so simple. I'll just give in on this one little thing, Lord, just this one little thing. And in a particular moment, it might seem like, it's not a big deal. But when we surrender that way, it's kind of like a taking a little piece out of a dam, like a little hole in the dam. And pretty soon, that dam begins to buckle, and it begins to lose its integrity, and pretty soon, it's gone. So if we continue to let go of our principles, we put ourselves in a precarious situation. And we might look at today's reading and those seven brothers and the mother and their story. If you read the whole story, it's pretty gruesome. We might say, come on, guys. Wasn't there an easy way to do that? Just eat a little pork, okay? It's not so big of a deal. Just try it out. It's not so bad. You know, we might look at that and that might be our perspective. These poor guys are so rigid. Why they just... You know, they let their wives become widows. They let their children become orphans or lose their father. Wasn't there a better way to do that, we might say? Well, these men did allow these things to happen. They did hold firm on this, what seems like a little tiny issue. You know, that the Greeks were challenging them. Eat a little pork, because they knew it was against the Jewish law. And so if they would do that, it was basically giving in a little bit. And if they could get them to do that, they figured that they could eventually begin to erode their whole religious view. So, you know, for us, take our pick of any moral teaching of the church that we maybe habitually reject, or anything that we have decided we know better, or that we have decided it's not really that big of a deal to go against that. If we have that position of rejecting the church's teaching because of cultural influence, maybe social pressure that's brought to bear, or because it just is easier for us, it fits my lifestyle more, then we've either to some degree rejected our faith, or this soft persecution has done its work, and it's kind of numbed us to the reality that I've surrendered this area of my life, my relationship with Christ. We may have swallowed and accepted the bait without ever really realizing that this has happened. It's easy to do. There's so many areas that we're being challenged today in a very soft, subtle way. So the way to be in full communion with Christ after a moral failure or a surrender in some way is not to try to justify my position, what I've done, and to say it's okay for me, but to ask God's mercy and accept God's providence and His wisdom in this matter, to trust His church that He put here to guide us. And trust that the Lord will guide us in these matters. Because how quickly is it done that we can easily kind of surrender and talk ourselves into accommodating ourselves to the world and surrendering our faith, our principles, our religious convictions, all the more because this persecution is so soft and so subtle, it's very easy to do. I think the danger of apostasy is real, though. It's really a true possibility that we could find ourselves making these choices over time and finally realizing, gosh, I have gone a long way from where I know the church teaches and where Christ wants me to be. And we could be lulled into that. The devil's a crafty guy, right? He's out there he's going to do whatever he can to kind of walk us away from the Lord. Even if it's just allowing us to kind of be lulled into this surrendering of the greater things over time, and yet allowing us to have a long, successful life in a worldly sense, if that's all it takes to get us to step away from the Lord, He's going to allow that. You know, He'll give us opportunities to grow rich and famous and these kinds of things by taking these steps. And finally, we'll end up like those Sadducees who were kind of caught up in things that it It's like, where are you guys coming from? What? Why is that? You're so caught up in this thing of trying to defend the fact that the resurrection doesn't exist. I don't know why. Why are you religious then if you don't believe in the resurrection? You know, it's kind of a strange thing. We might find ourselves in this place of, I don't know how I got here. I don't know how I got my views. I don't know how I started believing these things. But I need to get back to the Lord. I need to surrender and return to Him. So maybe there's areas of our hearts. It could be these big moral issues, or it could be just subtle little things. But we might need to return and ask God to purify our hearts and draw us back to Him. So may God grant us that grace to stand firmly rooted in Him. And if we have compromised our faith, may we rise up and return to God with our whole heart.